Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you on this Wednesday, November 5th from Washington, D.C. You'll notice I didn't say, as I just realized tonight, I have a tendency to say, I always say good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, folks, I'm not sure it is a good evening. It's a rainy, unpleasant day here in Washington, D.C., except I would say for the vast majority of the residents of this city who are rightly celebrating the fact that one of their fellow Americans of African slave descent, as my friend Dr. Robert Brock, the black nationalist, likes to refer to his people, there has been an American, well, he's not an American of African slave descent. That's my point. That a black American of African descent has been elected president, but the vast majority of the blacks in Washington, D.C. are of African slave descent. They are nonetheless celebrating the victory of Barack Obama. And I think rightly so. They feel he is one of them, although I have always doubted that he was. But not being a black person, it's not for me to judge whether Barack Obama can be considered representative of the black American experience. Well, there was a lot of electricity in this city yesterday and today. Whether you like it or not, that's a fact. And Barack Obama has become president of the United States. A lot of things that can be said about that, and we'll discuss that in a minute here. I will say the good news that came out of yesterday's election was the defeat of a warmongering maniac who's been controlled lock, stock, and barrel by organized Jewish interests with deep and long-standing ties to Israel and the International Crime Syndicate. And I refer, of course, to the unlamented would-be President John McCain. I was very pleased to see John McCain defeated, ladies and gentlemen. Consider John McCain a piece of garbage for many years, and indeed he is a piece of garbage. I'm not going to say the same about Barack Obama. I don't consider Barack Obama a piece of garbage. In fact, I will say this much about Barack Obama. I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for any black person, whether he's an African American of African slave descent or whether he's whether he's of partial African descent, whatever the fact is, he's being hailed as America's first black president, America's first African American president, whatever you want to call it. This guy is inheriting a country that is bankrupt, which is mired, embroiled, engaged, stuck in two wars in the Middle East, and being pushed toward yet another war. So the good news from yesterday's election was the vanquishing of John McCain, and I might add also that of Sarah Palin, although that gal is going to be back. I guess I'm allowed to call her a gal since the feminists hate her so much, and feminists are the ones that object to the use of the term gal. So I'll go ahead and say that broad, that pro-Zionist broad will be back, I'm sure. We haven't seen the last of Sarah Palin. Now, that was the good news of the election. What's the bad news, ladies and gentlemen? The bad news is that the first news about Barack Obama's upcoming administration is the fact that he has appointed a hellish Zionist thug to be his White House chief of staff. That's bad news, ladies and gentlemen. Damn bad news. Barack Obama needs to explain to the American people why he feels hardline Zionist Jews should be running his White House. Stay tuned for more commentary when we come back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press newspaper. Check out American Free Press on the internet website of this national weekly newspaper, which is a real live print publication. You can check out the website, though, at AmericanFreePress.net. And you can check out a lot of my writings, a big assembly of my writings, and also you can check out some videos I've done, look like hell on them, but they're there, some videos I've done at MichaelCollinsPiper.com. That's a subsidiary of an independent website, AmFirstBooks.com. So you can check that out as well. I don't give enough publicity to that website. I must try to do it more often. Okay, so we're talking about Barack Obama. His first apparent semi-official or official act is to name Congressman Rahm Emanuel from Chicago as his chief of staff. I can't think of let's put it this way. Barack Obama campaigned on a program of change. It's not change when you put the likes of Rahm Emanuel in charge of your White House staff. Rahm Emanuel, in many respects, is the equivalent of I. Lewis Libby, who was Dick Cheney's chief of staff and whom I believe was the actual person really running the White House during the Bush administration, I. Lewis Libby. That's the guy you'll recall who got convicted on this this perjury charge, I do believe it was, over his role in the leaking of the name of a CIA operative, Valerie Plame, to the press, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, without belaboring the history of that affair. But needless to say, this guy, Rahm Emanuel, these ties to Israel that he has, we can understand why Barack Obama feels the need to curry favor with the Jewish power interests in this country. But to put Rahm Emanuel as his chief of staff, folks, I would have felt more comfortable with Reverend Al Sharpton, and I'm serious, as the White House chief of staff, or certainly Barack Obama's longtime friend, Pastor Jeremiah Wright. I would have felt much, much, much more comfortable with him as the White House chief of staff. But no, it's Rahm Emanuel. Now it remains to be seen whom Obama is going to be selecting for his cabinet. But let's face it, folks. We all knew that whatever the results of the 2008 presidential election, we knew in reality that there wasn't going to be any substantial change. You know, Barack Obama's a good speaker. I watched his victory speech last night, and I sent an email to Mark Glenn saying, this guy gave a very dignified speech, and, you know, I was wondering what it would be like to be in his position at this moment. And, you know, I sensed that he realizes he's gotten himself into something that's a little bit bigger than he realized. Either he's gotten himself into it or somebody else has gotten himself into it. But I spoke to two black friends of mine today. One of African slave descent and one whose family actually came to the United States after the days of slavery. So technically he's not an American of African slave descent, I suppose. But in any case, I said to them, I said, well, you guys got your brother in, and I said, now he's in the soup. He's going to take the rap. He's going to take the rap for the damage that George W. Bush and the Republicans have done to this country during the last 8 years. So don't be too happy that your dreams have been achieved. I know a lot of people out there are worried about what Barack Obama is going to do to the country. I know a very, very dear friend of mine is absolutely crying in his whiskey over Barack Obama's election, not because Barack Obama is black, but because Barack Obama is, as we've always said in the old parlance, a mulatto. This friend of mine does not like race mixing, so therefore he would have preferred Barack Obama been 100% black rather than a mixture of the races. And I have other friends who are just up in arms because Barack Obama is, as they say, a socialist. And they think he's going to bring a socialist dictatorship to America. As though we haven't had socialism in this country for more than a generation. I don't think we really need to worry too much about that, but there's a lot of people really worrying about that. And you consider the fact that it was Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush who ran the country for 12 years, and then we had an interlude of Bill Clinton for 8 years, and then eight years of W. Bush. You know, I guess people, if they think the situation is really bad now, who are they going to blame it on? You know, these old partisan labels, they really don't mean much. A lot of people still cling to them, though, and a lot of people voted for John McCain because he was going to save the country from socialism. But now it's all in Barack Obama's lap. And he's going to have to take the hard knocks. I don't think Barack Obama is going to play the race card. But I'll tell you what I do think is going to happen. You know, I think if people criticize Barack Obama, I don't think that he is really going to play the race card. I am fearful for the black people of America, however, who will support Barack Obama, and there are many who will support him, right or wrong, because he is black, that when Barack Obama is ordered by his Jewish masters to launch an American attack on Iran, if indeed Barack Obama plays the game and goes along with them, that America's blacks will support an attack on Iran because Barack Obama is the one who is directing it from his position in the presidency. So I think it's very important in the next 4 years for Americans of African slave descent to keep Barack Obama in line, to stand behind him if it appears that he is going to stand up to the Jewish power interests in any way. Just because he put this criminal Zionist Rahm Emanuel in his White House chief of staff doesn't necessarily mean that Barack Obama will go along with the program, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Nixon was working behind the scenes against Jewish Zionist power, even with Henry Kissinger as Secretary of State. And he got Watergated as a consequence, of course, but nonetheless, Richard Nixon believed that because he was president, he could do things behind the scenes against the Jewish power interests. And so, of course, did John F. Kennedy. Well, we know what happened to John F. Kennedy. So we don't want to make too much too soon of unpleasant and unfortunate appointments such as Rahm Emanuel. Because after all, from the public perception anyway, it is Barack Obama who is now going to be president. There are many people in this country who will never accept his presidency precisely because he is of a darker skin tone. There's people who have religious objections to his service in the presidency. There are people who have racial objections to his service in the presidency. There are people who have political objections to his service in the presidency. But whether we like it or not, he is president. This is what I always said about George W. Bush. Creepy cat that he is. Oh, forgive me, I am a cat lover. I don't want to call him a cat. Creepy crawler that he is. You know, it's very easy for me to sit here in my little apartment in Washington, chit-chatting into my telephone and broadcasting out onto the internet and condemn George W. Bush, as he rightly deserves to be condemned for his contemptible behavior as a war criminal and purveyor of garbage in the White House, paid for no less by my tax dollars and the tax dollars of many of you who unfortunately are taxpayers. But after all, this creepy crawler, George W. Bush, was ensconced in the White House. Now, I personally believe that he stole both of those elections in one form or another. But it was George W. Bush who was sitting in the White House these last 8 years, not Mike Piper or Mark Glenn or David Duke or Chuck Baldwin or Bob Barr or John Stadtmiller. Oh, the list goes on and on of many, many people who, in some respects, would be far preferable to have sitting in the White House. But the fact is, George W. Bush is a man who was calling the shots, or at least calling the shots publicly while being told what to do by his behind-the-scenes masters. Now, that dubious award, that dubious crown has been passed on, or presumably will be passed on, to Barack Obama. Well, we are going to a break very shortly, folks, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the election process itself. Talked about it many times in this show, but after all, since this is the day after the election, it's important to talk about it a little bit more because after all, during this past year, a lot of people put a lot of stock, maybe I should say a lot of cash, into the election process. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Each Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, commemorating this election. We have quite a few callers here, and we will go to them after the half-hour break. But I want to talk again very quickly here about the election process. You know, some years ago, what was it, 8 years ago, Pat Buchanan raised some, what, $30 million? $30 million and hardly made an impact at all in the presidential election. And this was a guy who was had been around for years, who was a well-known newspaper columnist, radio and television personality, with some experience in government, long-time ties to the Republican Party, and yet he hardly made a dent. His sister got some big commissions, being paid commissions to buy radio and television advertising for the Buchanan campaign, but I guess that's the great result of that campaign. Well, this past year, we saw Ron Paul make a big splash on the internet raising money, but the powers that be in the Republican Party made sure that he went nowhere. And I remember all the people saying, and there were people writing this in American Free Press, and I would say to them, we really shouldn't publish that because it's not true. People were saying, oh, well, Ron Paul will get to speak before the American people at the Republican National Convention. Well, of course, he was practically barred from the Republican National Convention, but of course, we can kind of understand why, considering the fact that he was having a rally, rival rally across town. And who did he have speak at that rival rally? Grover Norquist, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And the MC of the rally was Tucker Carlson, a longtime columnist for William Kristol's Weekly Standard. I mean, you know, what the hell was Ron Paul doing? What was he thinking? You know, I didn't say anything about it at the time because I didn't want to throw water. I didn't want to rain on the parade, but maybe I should have said something about it. I don't know if I heard anyone mention the fact that a member of the Council on Foreign Relations was one of those who spoke at Ron Paul's rally. Well, Ron Paul didn't do anything in the general election. He just said he was going to run for re-election and then come back after the election, and he's going to take over the Republican Party by training Ron Paul clones to run in the Republican primaries and get elected. That's a pipe dream, ladies and gentlemen. It ain't going to happen. You know, frankly, during this past year, you know, a massive amount of money went into Ron Paul's coffers, and in reality, nothing was ever really going to happen in the end. I mean, look at the election results for the third-party candidates. They're negligible. And then again, we come to the big question, are the elections for real? Are they for real? We know they are dominated and controlled effectively by the mass media in this country. But the bigger, deeper, more mysterious question is this. How much do they really control the actual vote count? Do we know for a fact that Barack Obama was actually elected, or was he selected? I, of course, was predicting that John McCain would pull it off. I was way off. If the poll results are to be believed, the final results. And then again, that raises the question, how real are the polls? I notice a tendency on the part of, let's for example say, Ron Paul supporters, and I don't mean to pick on Ron Paul supporters, but when Ron Paul supporters were citing polls that showed a strong base of support for Ron Paul, they believed the polls. But then when polls didn't mention Ron Paul or he didn't get good results in the polls, they would say, well, the polls were fixed. This is the reality of it, ladies and gentlemen. We sometimes read into it what we want to read into it. I remember somebody sending me an email saying, while John McCain was temporarily leading in the polls, he was saying, well, yes, of course, John McCain's leading in the polls because people don't want to elect a black president. Well, now, a lot of those same people who were saying, well, Barack Obama's not going to get elected because he's black, are now going to say, well, he was elected because he was black. You see, that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. People want to have their cake and eat it, too. Well, I wish Barack Obama the best. I hope that he doesn't prove to be a step and fetch it for the organized Jewish interest in this country. I hope that Barack Obama will surprise us all. And when the Jewish plantation keepers tell him that he's got to order an attack on Iran, I hope Barack Obama says, sorry, folks. Sorry, folks, we're free at last. Thank God Almighty we're free at last. And I hope he stands up and says no. And I hope the military supports him. And then all hell should break loose. That's all a hope and a dream, folks. But we are all allowed to dream, and sometimes our dreams come true. All right, we're going to the break. And when we come back, we're going to go to the phones. We have Bob in D.C. first up.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
question. Is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question. Are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question. Do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are going to go to the phones in just a second here. But I just saw a note to myself here that I had slipped by in the course of my elucidation on the election. Interesting word, elucidation. The thought police are at it again. You know, David Duke is supposed to have and is going to have a conference in the Memphis area this weekend. But as I understand it, without having gotten all the details, pressure on the hotel has caused Dr. Duke to relocate the conference. This is, of course, precisely the same thing that happened to us, those of us who were involved in organizing the No More Wars for Israel conference at the Marriott Hotel in Irvine, California, just about a year ago. I think it was a year ago, maybe longer than that now, folks. Time flies when you're under siege. But in any case, yes, the thought police have managed to scuttle at least the location of Dr. Duke's conference. But I understand if you go to his website at davidduke.com, you can get further details on that. Well, that's something that can't be blamed on Barack Obama. But it can be blamed on the people who have their hands on the levers of power in this country and who can make the phone calls and the threats. We really need to stand up to them, folks. We need political candidates that are going to come out and openly defy Jewish power in this country. Anyway, we're going through the phones as promised. Bob in D.C. Bob, thanks for your patience.
And thank you, Michael. Interesting times. as the Chinese say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, I have to let you know who I am. I edit a little ditty for resist.com. And if you go to news and views at resist.com, that's what I edit. That's who
okay.
I am. And, you know, that's revealing a bit of myself. Here I am in D.C., and that's the way it goes. You know what I'm saying. And you've been out there for 20 years plus, and you know what it's going to take. And I, hopefully I'll have 20 years in the future.
Yeah, hopefully we all will, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My good friend, yes. What's happening right now is something that has not been seen before. And I don't know if we'll see it again, Tom, Michael. And what I wanted to really ask you is if you would bring a person up on your site who is what I call my moral father, Tom Metzger. It's taken me a long time to get here, Tom, Michael. It's taken me an awful long time.
Well, let me tell you about Tom Metzger.
Well, don't tell me, Michael. Let me just ask you. Before you tell me anything, because I don't want you to go out on that limb before you cut it off and we cut off this conversation. Tom Metzger is the finest human being I've ever known. He's had the longest stretch. Sure, there are some gives and takes. There are some mistakes and then conquering those mistakes. But Tom Metzger for 40 years from the Goldwater, nomination in 1964 onward, he has always kept his eye on the ball. Whether that ball was in the right court or the wrong court, it was always on the ball. Well, right now, I don't know. Tom right now is saying that, we give it all up and let the thing boil over. And he may be right.
Well, that's the way a lot of people feel.
Well, the way I look at it myself 40 years ago, and I think I mentioned it on your show, that who is the guy that wrote the book Coup d'etat, a primer, Itwalker, whatever his name was.
Edward Luttwak, yeah.
Luttwak. Yeah, coup d'etat, the primer. What did he say? He said, even if the entire population or a good portion of it understands that the coup d'etat has taken place, if they do nothing, it is successful. And that's what we've seen. And that's what we've seen for the last 40 years. Anything good we've seen, Michael Collins Piper, anything good we've seen in the last 40 years has been a death throw. Now we come forward. Now we come forward. And as you have said, we must give Obama support. Well, I don't know. Obama is a tool of Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel is, the last time I heard, he was a captain, probably a major now, in the Israeli Defense Forces.
That's right. You're absolutely right. I had forgotten about that myself. You're right. Mm-hmm.
And he's a congressman of dubious loyalty. If you go to resist.com and then you go to the thing that I edit, which is News and Views, you'll see the latest News and Views, which went out the day before the election. You'll see a picture of Rahm Emanuel talking into the ear of Obama, instructing him. And this is the
That's
problem.
A frightening image.
Well, there you go. Go to it and you'll see it. But that pretty much, I wanted to get forward that point. And
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, like I say, we are, what did you say, we're in interesting times, and I don't think there's going to be much of a change. I wanted to see McCain given a good kicking for just for the principle of it, in hopes that maybe it will drive those types out of the Republican Party, but in reality, there isn't going to be much change.
McCain was insane, and he is insane. Bomb, 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 Iran wasn't a joke. He just said it offhandedly, but it was real.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And he's linked in with Meyer Lansky's Bronfman crowd, as you know.
The whole gang.
Mm-hmm. And we can defeat them, but I don't think anymore it's going to be bloodless, and that's the sad side.
I agree with you 100%, and all I can do is continue to do what I'm doing, and Bob,
you're good at what you're doing, and I got to tell you right now, I know I talk to Tom all the time, and you are very interesting because you've never varied from digging deep, even with Willis Carto, and Carto has some real heavy baggage, and I don't know if you know how heavy it goes, but it's heavy. But I think you do. I think you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't, but...
Well, that's the way it goes. But it goes to Imperium. It goes to Francis Parker Yockey. It goes to the foreword of that book, Imperium. And
I tell you what, Bob, let me tell you something. I know for a fact that Willis Carter... I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of people say Willis Carto didn't write that, and they say mm-hmm. that the reason why he didn't write it is because he uses words that he wouldn't have used. I want to tell you, I have worked with Willis for 28 years, and I want to tell you one of the things that I've often objected to mm-hmm. in some of his writing is that he likes to use words that are so different that I always tell him it's stilted.
I hope you're
no,
right.
No, Willis Carto wrote that, Bob.
I hope you're right.
I can assure you.
I hope you're right, because what I've heard is that Revelo P. Oliver wrote it.
No, Revelo Oliver, let me tell you something. I don't even want to get into this on the air, because most people don't know what we're talking about. But
well, they should.
Revelo Oliver.
They should learn this. Mike,
Willis
they should
submitted
learn
that to Revelo Oliver for suggestion.
Okay, yeah.
And Revelo Oliver himself has never claimed to have written that. But a lot of people have said that's a story that's been out for years and years. But even if Willis Carto had not written the introduction to Imperium, he's written so many other good things that I know for a fact that he did write. And, in fact, they're in a new book that's out now called Appeal to Reason, mm-hmm. which is a collection of his writings, that even if he didn't write that, everything else that he's written has been so precise
mm-hmm.
and so on the point that I have to defend him for that.
Well, I see your point, and I think it's a very valid point. And having said everything I said from my knowledge and listening to yours, I think it's about time we get together. And I think,
you know,
I think it's about time you bring Tom Metzger on your show. What do you
well,
say?
Well, I tell you what. You know why I would have trouble bringing Tom on the show?
There's no, don't give me the bullshit.
What bullshit?
That's bullshit saying you can't bring him on.
Well, I didn't say that I couldn't bring him on. I
then
said I would have trouble because, you know, he once called for the assassination of Willis Carto.
Oh, come on. Come on, you put it in context, please.
That's my understanding.
Well, okay.
And I would feel a little awkward having someone on my show who once called for the assassination of the guy who's put money in my pocket every 2 weeks for the last 25 years. You know what I mean? It's just kind of a... I think you can kind of understand why.
I understand where you're coming from, Mike, but maybe the context isn't quite right, but we are here now after what happened yesterday. Can we talk?
Well, I don't think it's a matter for you and I to talk. I think probably it's a matter for Willis and Tom Metzger to talk.
Well, no, it's your show. It's your choice.
But like I say, I would not feel comfortable having Tom on this show. I met Tom many, many years ago. I mm-hmm. think he's a very articulate guy. He is he's a guy who says what he means and means what he says. And he has a lot of strong support around the country. And I say, good. That's good, because we need good, strong voices
out
factions,
there. Michael,
but,
we don't
you know,
need
because I tell you what, it'd be the same thing as if you would ask me to have Mark Weber on my show. Because, I mean, the argument
can
be made that Mark Weber says all these wonderful things and writes all these wonderful things on the Internet, but I also know that Mark Weber is responsible for great turmoil and financial disruption in my life to the point that I lost my very, very minimal life savings as a consequence of his intrigues. So your argument could be made, well, you know, okay, why don't you have Mark Weber on the show, because he's an articulate guy. There's half a dozen other articulate people out there who I could have on the show, and I would have on the show before I had Mark Weber. If Tom Metzger had not called for the assassination of Willis Cardo, I probably wouldn't have a problem intellectually or spiritually having him on the show. But, you know, how do I go back to Willis Cardo and say, well, Willis, I just had Tom Metzger on the show, this guy who called for your assassination.
Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Well, they cut me off for a while, so...
No, you should have. I don't think you were cut off.
You didn't hear about two paragraphs that I said right there. But yeah, I think you can understand why they would have, because there's a little bit of emotion here. But and I don't blame them. You know, John has a heck of a good side here. Anyway, my point is that we're talking free speech here, and you're talking off the cuff. I'm talking off the cuff. We're talking about things that have not been fully erudited. And I think you got to bring, if you're going to be completely two-sided about this, I mean, give left and give right, you got to bring Tom up and let him defend himself. And I don't think it's a matter of defense right now. I think it's a matter that Tom might even just say, hey, the hell with all you right-wingers. And he might be right. I mean, the right wing has given us Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was the worst thing that possibly could have happened to the white race. But he still was, and we should discuss that. There are things we should discuss, like the Night of the Long Knives. I was always against Hitler. I said on open radio about 2 or 3 months ago, if I had been there, I would have assassinated Hitler if I had been there when he called for his decisions on Dunkirk. But, Mike, I got to tell you, Tom Metzger opened me up to the Night of the Long Knives, and, you know, I got to tell you right now, if I was there in 1934, I would have assassinated Hitler then. Hitler was the worst thing that could have possibly happened to white people.
And the rest of humanity. I know a couple people, Bob, who actually share that point of view, and these are people I know well and respect. Mm-hmm. And so you don't stand alone on that. In fact, you know, the Barnes Review, about a year ago, did a piece on the Strasser brothers, who were...
Grigol and Otto, yeah.
Yeah, part and parcel of this Night of the Long Knives. Bob, listen, I really, you know, we've talked a little bit longer than I expected. Yeah. I really need to move on. I have a lot of callers lined up here.
Can you bring Tom up sometime?
What's that?
Can you bring Tom Metzger up?
I just can't see doing it. It would be very hard to...
Michael, you know what they call that?
What is it? What do they call it?
Censorship.
No, that's not censorship, Bob. And
I know it's your show.
No, Bob, it's not. I wasn't even thinking about the fact that it's my show. But like I say, let me ask you this: if someone had called for the assassination of John Stadtmiller,
how are you that sure that in that context that's what he meant? I think he did, but how are you sure? I'm not that sure, but
do you think that I would bring up somebody as a guest on this show who called?
You have brought up some awful people on your show. You have brought up some awful people from the other side, which I would never give a voice. Because they've got ABC, NBC, CBS, and CBC, and CNN, and they've got everything else. And you still bring them up, and you don't bring up Tom Metzger.
Well, who are these people? Who are these? Now you got me curious. Who are these people that have ABC and NBC and CBS?
I got to go back, but I know they're there. You don't want to push it.
They've been guests on my show.
Not guests, but you brought them up.
When you say brought them up, do you mean? Brought them up. You mean I've mentioned them on the show?
Well, I'll tell you what. You've had people on your show that you knew were your enemies. And if they're your enemies, I can only say they're probably Willis Cardo's enemies. You have brought people up, and yet you won't bring up Tom Metzger.
You're saying I've had people on this program.
Yes, you certainly have.
Like, for example, now I'm curious.
Offhand, if you want me to search, I'll search. I'll dig deep. But
I'd be very curious, and if you would call in tomorrow night and give me a list, I'd like to know.
It's going to take a little longer than that because I might have to go back, but I figure it's within the last year. And I will search it.
Please, I'd like to know who my enemies were who I had as guests on this show. I'd like to know the names of my enemies because I can't recall having had any of my enemies on this show.
You never brought anybody up that was opposed to your views, and you brought them up.
I think there are people who call this show every night that are opposed to my views in one form or another. Hello? I think we lost Bob. Bob left me with a mystery. I'd like to know. I really need to know the names of my enemies that I've had on this show. Good Lord. Well, I tell you what, we are going to a break, and we're only going to have room for one more caller when we come back. We'll go to Smitty in Wyoming. Stay tuned.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound.
Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited.
Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system.
Without water, you die.
It's all online at survivalistseeds.com.
Are you prepared?
That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become
property of the New World Order.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. I was going to bring up one more caller, and I want to apologize to him, Smitty from Wyoming. We also had a couple other callers, including Jim from Texas, Dave from Massachusetts, and Dave from Illinois. Well, I'm not going to be able to bring you guys up here because I need to comment on something that just occurred. We had Bob from D.C. on, and in the course of our discussion, he suggested that the producers here at RBN had cut him off. Now, I checked with my producer, who is a good guy, and he said to me what I did. He says, I turned his volume down. The reason why he turned his volume down was because I was talking and he started to talk, and you couldn't hear anything. Now, I was not conscious of that, but I just want to emphasize here that Bob was not being censored, and Bob was not cut off, and in fact, of course, he left the show unexpectedly, I might add, at his own volition. I intended, actually, to keep him over for the break. We were just going to the break. Now, as far as censorship is concerned, he says that that's censorship, that I won't bring Tom Metzger, who called for the assassination of my longtime boss, Willis Cardo. He says that's censorship. Well, the fact is, there's a million people out there who I could, literally, a million or millions of people out there who I could have as guests. And I don't have a lot of guests on this show, and the fact that I don't bring them up doesn't mean that I am censoring their point of view. Tom Metzger has been around a lot longer than I am, has had a hardcore following of avid supporters. He's had websites, he's had radio shows, he has, I would say, probably far more name recognition than I've ever had. So for me to not bring him on the air because of the fact, and as I say, this is because of the fact that he once called for the assassination of the man who has paid my paycheck for all these years, I think a lot of you can understand why I would have some hesitation in doing that. And I don't think there's anyone out there who would really consider that censorship. I have no capacity to censor Tom Metzger or really anybody else, because other than perhaps if Tom Metzger were on this show and I ask for the producer to cut him off. Folks, I even had Eric Hufschmidt on this show one time, and I let him make a fool of himself for exactly what he was, and I didn't cut him off. And I didn't cut off Christopher Boleyn when I had him on this show, and he was claiming that American Free Press was controlled by the Zionists because, as one example, he cited a stout fellow had once written for American Free Press, an anti-Zionist Jewish gentleman who did happen to be stout. He couldn't remember his name. I didn't cut Christopher Boleyn off when he was on this show. I had people on this show, I let a guy on this show talk for 20 minutes explaining why I had been compromised by Victor Thorne because Victor Thorne had paid me $224. I let the guy go on and on and on. You know, no, I don't like censorship. Censorship is taking an affirmative measure to try to silence somebody or to try to scuttle their freedom of speech, just as what was done to David Duke here over the last several days, and just exactly what was done when we tried to have some decent conversation about U.S. foreign policy toward Israel at the No More Wars for Israel conference. Well, censorship is the kind of thing that was done when Jim Traficant was railroaded into federal prison on trumped-up charges, which I might add is exactly what was done to David Duke for that matter. So no censorship here, folks. But, no, I can't have someone on the show who once called for the assassination of my boss. Just doesn't wash. Well, I'm sorry we had to censor all the other callers who couldn't make it up here tonight, but that's the way it is, folks. Anyway, we should be here tomorrow night. Hopefully we will be, God willing. So you folks that called in tonight, you're welcome to call in tomorrow night. Try to get you on the air. All right, have a good one, folks. It's the same.